Rashi's beginning of Parshas Vayeshev quotes the Medrash. Vayeshev Yaakov, Bikush Yankov, Lekeshev B'Shalva, Kofat Sola, Yugzer Shal Yosef. Tzadikim Rakshim Vayeshev B'Shalva, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rabbi Natzadik, Nasha Mesukim Lan, Rabbi Mabor, Shem Rakshim Vayeshev B'Shalva, Bar Mazel. So the first of all this, what's so bad if the Tzadikim have a little relaxation, Bar Mazel? What do they have to suffer, Bar Mazel? I saw one of the Bali HaTesis and the Dazikin and the Bali HaTesis, they comment on this Medrash that Rashi quotes, that it's Meyuchad for Yaakov Avinu. Pashim Shad goes on the Tzadikim in general. One of the Rishonim, one of the Bali HaTesis says it goes on Yaakov Avinu, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu, Ger Yizarach Beretz Lo Elohem. And that Haftocha began with Leidas Yitzchok, Ger Yizaracha. So Yitzchok was the Zera of Avram, and he had to have Gerus. So Vayeshev Yaakov, Bikush Yankov, Leishev B'Shalva, he wanted to relax. That would be a bitul of the 400 years of Ger Yizaracha Beretz Lo Elohem. They have to grab up Gerus, they have to lift up Golus, even when they're living in Eretz Yisrael. So if he's going to be Yeshev B'Shalva, those years will not be earlier for the 400 years. So the Golus said no. If he suffers when he lives in Eretz Yisrael, then it's vital fulfillment of Ger Yizarach Beretz Lo Elohem. But if he's going to relax while living in Eretz Yisrael, then it'll be a bitul of that haftocha, of that nevuah. The Rishonim ask, why does it refer to Bilha and Zilpa as Neshei Aviv if in the previous parsha they are called the Pilakshim? They weren't Noshim, they were only Pilakshim. So they give different explanations. Some Rishonim say that after Rachel and Leah died and he no longer had an Isha, then he married the Pilakshim. He took them as regular Noshim. Other Bali HaTesis say, it's all conjecture, other Bali HaTesis say that he really loved Rachel. After Rachel died, even before Leah died, his favorite wife died, so then he took Bilhah and Zilpah as Noshim. Cause man that couldn't get rid of Leah. He had married Leah first. But cause man that Rachel was a monster, he didn't want to hurt her feelings by marrying Bilhah and Zilpah. But after Rachel dies, he didn't care for Leah so much in the first place. So then he married them as Noshim. Don't know. And other Rishonim have a very interesting interpretation based on the Medrash that Rashi quotes. Rashi quotes the Medrash that the Lashon Hara that Yosef told his father was that they ate Eidman Achai and the Mizalzul and the Bnei Ashpach is the cross of Mavodim and the Chshudim al Arai. So the Rishonim there, why did Taka Yosef say this Lashon Hara to the father? Well, it was true. So why did the Shvatim violate these Yisurim? So this is Yadura from the Mishnah Melech has in his Sefer Parashas Racham, a whole pshat on it. The first section of the Sefer, the first Shar, is all about this Rashi with the long Arichas Dvarim. And lo and behold, the Bali HaTesis say this pshat. The Bali HaTesis with the other Rishonim, the Batanura, say that pshat that the Mishnah Melech says that from the Gedolei HaSidim, they said that in heaven there was a Kitrig in Bezim Shamayla when the Mishnah Melech wrote that part of the Sefer, that they're making fun of the Torah. So the Bali HaTesis say this pshat. That there is a machlekes between Tesis and the Ramban. Rambam at the end of Parshas Emor quotes the Bali HaTesis and he disagrees with him. So the Mishnah Melech interprets, what are they fighting about? Whether the Ovis Kredi Matan Torah had a deal with B'nai Noach, they still had a deal with B'nai Noach, or they were Yotzim Achral B'nai Noach from the day that Avram was in Tzav Alamina, they had a din of Yisrael. Where do you see this machlekes between the Bali HaTesis and the Ramban? They have the Ramban at the end of Emor quotes Bali HaTesis and he disagrees with them. The din is that by Yisrael, the mother determines the status of the child. If you have a mixed marriage, the mother havlad helach acher hoyim, and by umas ha'olam havlad helach acher azocha. The father determines. Let's say you have an Amaleki marries a mitzvah, So what status does a child have? Does he have the status of an Amaleki? This is a mitzvah l'harva. Does a child have the status of a mitzvah? There is no mitzvah l'harva, but if he's in his gayer, then he's also lover of the call at Gimel Day. Mitzvah dar shlishi. Or let's say a mitzvah marries an Amonis and they have a baby boy. So is the child considered a mitzvah? Is the child considered an Amoni? Nafkamina is he also lover of the call? Is he mutar achar Gimel Day or not? Nafkamina between a mitzvah and a... And a mayavi, if it's a girl, so a mayavi is mutaris love of the kol, but if it's a mitzvah, so the mitzvah is asura love of the kol. What would the status of the child be? So the Gemara says, "Bumas alayk acharazachar." It all depends on the father. Whenever there's a mixed marriage, by the Yomasal, it depends on the father, and by Yisrael, it depends on the mother. So the Ramban has a dispute with the Balei HaPereshit at the end of Parshas Amor. What was the din of Bnei Yisrael if there would be a mixed marriage, a Jewish woman, Shlomit Bar Zivi, or if had a child from a mitzvah? That was the Megadeh. So the Ramban has a dispute with the Balei HaTesis whether that child was automatically Jewish or he had to have a get, or did he have to have a gerus? Was he dinu kinachri? Was he dinu kiyisrael? Because Rashi quotes the Medrash and Ramposik malamet shin nizgar. The Tzeret B'nei Tzom malamet shin nizgar. Does that mean he was nizgar with Maimon Hasina together with everybody else? Or no, he had to undergo a separate gerus because his mother was because his father was a goy, so he had the status of a goy. So the Mishlam Melech assumes that that's the machlokes between the Tosis and the Ramban, whether the Yovas created Matan Torah, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, their descendants, whether they were Yotz Mechlavim and Erech right away after the mitzvah Mila was given, or only at the time of Maamid HaSinai. So the Mishlam Melech in his Sefer claims that that was, he quotes Achreinim, and here the Balei HaTesis said that was the dispute between Yosef and the brothers. That Yosef held that they had a din of Bnei Noach created Matan Torah. So therefore, Kiddushei Keser Anatayfsin by the Nenach Kiddushei Keser Anatayfsin only Kiddushei Dio. So therefore the Pasuk says Nesheyavi, because by Nachrim if Bula Asal Yeshlahem Nifnas Seluchot V'Lei Nivala Eilahem, so everything they're going to have is going to be Noshim. They're not going to have Noshim versus Pilakshim. Everything they're going to have is going to be Noshim. And Shenikim by Yisrael you have Anisha is with Suba the Kiddushin. What does that mean? It means there was Kiddushin and Nisuin. And Pilakshin is the Kiddushin below Suba. What do you mean below Suba? Suba is love the rice. It means it's only Kiddushin without Nisuin. By Yom HaSoilim, you can't distinguish between Kiddushin and Nisuin. If the only thing that you have is Bia, so Bia is going to make the full Nisuin, Bia is going to make the full issue. So the Pasuk refers to the Pilakshin. There's Nashim, that's how the Bar Tanura says on his Pasuk. Because that was Yosef Lishitosa, because Yosef held, not the rest of the Balei HaTesis said. Yosef held that they had a din of Bnei Noach. So by Bnei Noach, even a Pilegish who's Mecheres to him is going to have the status of an Isha Gemurah. You can't distinguish between a Pilegish and an Isha Manish. And that was the issue with the Yez Menachai, the Balei HaTesis say this pshat that popped up again in the days of Achrayim of the Mishlam Melech Kur. Balei HaTesis say what they would do would be the brothers of Yosef would shech to him. And after Shechita, so the Gemara says right away, the din of Yez Menachai goes off because Shechita is not to the baby. So as far as Bnei Noach are concerned though, Shechita is Lama'ala Lama'ala, doesn't matter. So you have to wait till the actual death of the animal. Because when the animal is still jumping around, it should be also Ba'achila. So the brothers used to shech the behavior, and they used to take a piece of flesh and eat it, Kodim should take in Afsha, before the animal died. So the brothers held that they had a bit of Yisrael, so the Shechita Talimuk, right after you do the Shechita, so there's no Yisrael Menachai, there's no Yisrael Bas Menachai. And Yosef held, the Shechita saw, Yosef held that they had a bit of Bnei Noach, and that was us. And the same is regarding the Arayas, that's how the Rishonim say, the same is regarding the Arayas, there was an issue whether they had a din in Bnei Noach or a din of Yisrael, because the Arayas are different between Bnei Yisrael and Bnei Noach, the Arayas are different. So he held that they were violating Hilchas Arayas, based on his assumption they had a din of Bnei Noach. And Ali and the brothers, they didn't have a din of Bnei Noach, they had a din of Yisrael, so these Arayas weren't prohibited. That's how the Rishonim say. This whole shetel that the Mishlam Melech made a whole fuss about, for nothing. Says in the Balei HaTesis Mishnah. But Tanura has it slightly, he has a shade of difference on the Eiv Menachai. He doesn't say that, like the Balei HaTesis and like the Achrayim say, that Yosef held they had a din of Yisrael, they had a din of Bnei Noach, and the brothers held they had a din of Yisrael. He suggests that they both held that they had a din of Bnei Noach, but Yosef held since they had a din of Bnei Noach, that's Eiv Menachai. And the brothers held that Nikon Midi, the Yisrael Shari, Ul Bnei Noach, also. And yes, it didn't hold for me to midi, kamavur, midi mara, in the second parak, and that's a machlekes amarai. So he says that was a machlekes yes, it's not. But that's, if he's already going along with this line that Yosef held out and did him in Noach, I don't understand why he didn't already go with the rest of the Balei Apostles and say, and that's what the brothers, when we're calling, they held ahead of Din of Yisrael. This is a famous pshat, it's Yadua from the Mishlah Melech, and he's dealing with the Parashas Drachim. He has a Sefer of Jewish Parashas Drachim, it's Yadua, from the first section of the Parashas Drachim. Here the Rishani say, the Balei Apostles on the Chumash, and this part is like that. Rashi quotes from the Medrash from Hunar that he was raised a Maisa Nairus, he was acting childish. That's the medrash on this pasuk that Rashi quotes. There is, however, another medrash on the pasuk Yeshua ben Nun Na Lo Yamish Mitocha Ochel. Is that at the end of Bamidbar somewhere? So the pasuk refers to Yeshua as a Nar, and the understanding of the word Nar has a different meaning. So the medrash there puts this word Nar together with that word Nar, with the David HaMelech is one place described as Nar also. So the Nar Ha'izi Gamza Tanji. So the Medrash understands the word Nar in the sense of being youthful, not childish. Okay, it's a Mila. That he was youthful and he was very alert. He was very alert and he felt that the brothers were insulting the Bnei Ashrochas, and he, because of his alertness, felt that the Bnei Ashrochas were insulted by it. He was very mocked about that. The Medrash also quotes the pasuk, Kinari Yisrael v'ohavehu. The pasuk in Navi, Kinari Yisrael v'ohavehu, also in the sense of nar, in the sense of alert and youthful. Lebedev. The younger people have milas and have chesern. Sometimes they're childish and sometimes they're childlike. Childlike is a mila, childish is a chesern. The Vilna Gaon has an arichas on this. Who nar, David HaMelech is described as a nar. And Yosef is described as a nar. So it has something to do with the Moshiach ben David and Moshiach ben Yosef. And he goes on his arichas with the 156 sukkim about Moshiach ben Yosef. This is one of the 156 sukkim, with his Alpi Kabbalah. Yavi Yosef is the best in Ra'al Avihem. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash that he told the father Lashon Hara. The Parsha Pshat in the Pasuk. How come he told the father Lashon Hara? Is that Hapelah? There's an Issa Lashon Hara. So there's an interesting comment in the Sefer Afike Yam. Afike Yam was a businessman in Europe before the Second World War. He wrote a very long paper. He was a very big guy. I was just looking at the paper in my office preparing for today's learning. The Rabbi Jewelman came in and said, he said he remembered him. He said he once came into Rabbi Chanan Yeshiva. He said, Yeshiva. He said, he's a very interesting person. So I can tell me the whole description. So the Afike Yam has, in the beginning of the second section of the Sefer, a comment on this passage based on the Sefer Chafetz Chaim. So Chafetz Chaim says that sometimes it's a mitzvah to tell Lashon Hara. Normally it's an issur to tell Lashon Hara, sometimes it's a mitzvah. So Yosef, why does he say that Yosef is the best in El Avihem? It should say El Aviv. Why El Avihem? His father, their father, the same person. Why is it described El Avihem? Why does he say Vayove Yosef? It should say Vayisapa Yosef. Like it says Vayachalam, it's Vayisapa. Why does he say Vayove? So he quotes in the Chafetz Chaim, based on a Gemara in the end of Sochem, that if I know that, let's say the Rebbe sees that one of the children in the class is not behaving, so normally he's supposed to call up the parent and tell the parent that the child is not behaving, that he stole the eraser from the other guy and he hit the other guy, slapped him or whatever, he wrote on the other guy's notebook, whatever, he's supposed to call the parent and tell him for what purpose I took Lashon Hara. That the parent should straighten out the kid. If the Rebbe feels that he cannot straighten out the kid alone, and he needs the parent's help, so the Gemara says that that's not a violation of Lashon Hara. If it's the parent's labav, you want to straighten out the kid. So the Afike Yam claims that then the Chafetz Chaim says, of course, you have to be careful to say over the story exactly as it happened, not to be mocking, not to exaggerate. So the Afike Yam interprets that perhaps that's why it says El Avihem, it doesn't say El Aviv, not that he told Lashon Hara to his father. He told their father, the same person, his father, their father, but he told their father that their father should straighten out the kids. And that's why it says Vayavi instead of Vayisapa. Vayavi means Kimedi Dovam Imakam Lamakam. He told over exactly Dvarim Kitzurot and he didn't exaggerate. He was careful not to exaggerate, otherwise that would certainly be an Issa Lashon Hara. He didn't violate Lashon Hara. He didn't want to violate Lashon Hara. He wanted to tell the father, their chesrenes, that the father should give them Musa and Techacha and straighten them out.
Why?
Abiham, their father, that their father should straighten them out. It wasn't, it happened that it was the same person. His father, their father was the same person, but the Ikur Nekuda. Right, the reason why it was Nefelis La Brot for them was because he was telling their father that he should straighten them out. If it would have said El Aviv, maybe he told his father Lashon Hara about someone else. It says El Aviv to their father that he should straighten them out. The Pasuk says that Yankif loved Yosef more so than the other children, and that's what caused the whole trouble. And the Gemara in Masechah Shabbos criticizes Yaakov Avinu for this, that because Yalmar Yishan Oben Ben Ben Abadam, parents should never favor one child over the other, because look what happened over here, because of the added love that Yaakov had to Yosef. And how was it expressed? They only felt that he loved Yosef more than them. He brought him a Ksenis Pasim. So the Gemara considers this Ksenis Pasim nothing so tremendous. It's not that he gave him a fur coat and the others were walking around a rig. They were all wearing nice clothing. His cost an extra $5. Their suits cost $500 each, and his suits cost $505. That was the whole difference. The Gemara doesn't consider it such a big steal, the Ksenis Pasim. So the Gemara says, because it allows you $5, that's what caused the whole rift, the whole machlek. So the Gemara says that parents should be very careful not to favor one child over the other. Many, many parents don't follow this advice, and they favor one child over the other, and the kaka has machlokes in the family. It's a very common aveira that people do. The prophet says that Yosef had a chalom, vayachalom Yosef chalom, vayagei liyachov, he told his brothers, and then they hated him more. They hated Yosef when they saw that the father loved him more than them, and then they hated him more. He tells him the story, and then he continues to say, at the end of Pasuk says. So it's a little strange. The Bali Akashis point out in Pasuk Hey it says, and then at the end of Pasuk Ches it says, again, that's the same thing as Pasuk Hey. It's a repeat. So why does it say it twice? Why does it say Achalom Oso on his dreams? He only had one dream so far. Since if Achalom Oso Chalom Achel, that's part of the test, he had another dream. So some Balei HaTosfos say Achalom Oso is all Shem Ha'asid. Part of the test is assuming that part of the test already happened because of the two Chalom. And other Balei HaTosfos say no, that there are three dreams that happened over here. Part of the K. That was one occasion. That was another occasion. And then after he told him that, and that second dream is described in the Chumash. The first dream is not described, the second dream is described. And in the end of Pasuk Chesed, because of the both dreams. The one in Pasuk Kei that wasn't described by the Chumash, and the one in Pasuk Zayin and Ches with the Miyam and Malumim. And then Pasuk Ches is the third dream. That's the third dream. What was this hidden dream that the Torah didn't bother to write? So that Bar Tanura also goes along with these Balei HaTosfos. Bar Tanura also must have had these Balei HaTosfos, and he also thinks that there was a third dream. So he says that Rashi at the end of Vayechi quotes a Medrash that what were the two dreams? Mi'al and Malumim, and there were 12 bundles of grain, and all the bundles were bound down to him. The 12 bundles of grain represented the 12 shvatim. Then he had another halom with the stars. The 12 stars, and the shemesh, and the rest, they're all bowing down to him. So Rashi, at the end of Parshas Vayechi, when the Torah says that after Yaakov Avinu died, Vayiru achi Yosef kimeis avim, vayomu lu yistamenu Yosef, v'hashu Yosef lanas kol arosh, v'hashu v'mal nosem, v'hashu Yosef leimah, v'yuchat tzivu lefei mosem leimah, he should forgive them, sonu otasha hachecha v'chatosem, and they pleaded with him, so Yosef says, hachas elekim oni, what am I going to punish you? So Rashi quotes from the Medrash on that pasuk. Next to the last Rashi, it's in pasuk so far. Next to the last Rashi in Bereishis, the Chumash Bereishis. Dover Acher, Asera Neves Leyoch Lemachadus Neirechad Zechulam. Where did he get this muscle from? The 10 candles, but the one candle. So the Bartanura claims that was a missing dream. That was the first thing that he had. But the pasuk says that the father loved Yosef more so than the other children, and they were furious. He had a dream that there were 12 candles, and 11 candles were trying to extinguish the 12th candle, and it couldn't succeed. That was a dream. And he told them, you hate me, but you're never going to get me. So the Chumash doesn't bother to write that dream. not so relevant. But when he told them that dream, by your people are snow, so they were angry at him. But apparently, he's dreaming about taking revenge. They're going to take revenge. He's going to take revenge. There's going to be a fight. But that was the dream that he told them later. That was the dream that he reminded them of later at the end of Chumash Bereishis, that he told them, had the dream about the candles, that you can't extinguish the 11 candles, can't extinguish the one candle, but the one candle Tavachana can't extinguish the 11 candles. I'm not going to try to destroy you. It's not try. If the 10 couldn't wipe out the one, so the one certainly can't wipe out the 10. The Baal HaTosfos comments, when were these dreams fulfilled? The Ma'amim Alumim was fulfilled, the Baal HaTosfos is saying, when they came to Yosef to plead to buy Tzvuah, and they had to bow down to him, because he was in charge of selling the Tzvuah. And the second dream, that even his father bowed down to him, the Shemesh was his father, that dream was fulfilled later, when Yaakov Avinu came to Mitzrayim. So it says that he bowed down to give Bichelah cover to Yosef, then the second dream was fulfilled. It took many, many years till the dreams were fulfilled. So I saw that by the Moshe who came, the Baal HaTosfos says, that in the next parasha it says, V'al Hishanos Sahalon, Wahakam Parah had the dream twice, so the reason why he had the same dream twice is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to start to do it very quickly, so he better hurry up. So here, yes, he had the same dream twice, that they're bowing down to him. So how come it wasn't fulfilled much earlier? So I saw the Baal HaTosfos give a teretz, it's only to have the same dream on the same night. So these were on different occasions. Was on a different occasion, more than two dreams, not twice on the same one. The way the Baal HaTosfos say that the two dreams were fulfilled on two different occasions, so it's not the same dream. It was two different dreams. There, when Parah had two different dreams, and all of the Chatum and Mitzrayim were interpreting, and Parshas Mikates, and all the Chatum and Mitzrayim were interpreting that this was one dream, and that's a different dream, and this refers to this, and this refers to that, so Yosef came up with the Chiddush, and he said, no, Chalom Parah Echadu, that was Chiddush number one, so this is the dream. All the Rashi quotes from the Medrash that all the Chatum and Mitzrayim are interpreting the two different dreams. This is referring to seven daughters. This is referring to seven something else. Both dreams were different. So then Yosef came and gave a Chiddush. No, Chalom Parah Echad, who is the exact same dream. And the reason why it was repeated is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to hurry to do it very quickly. But here, the way the other Baal HaTosfos is saying, two different dreams. This was fulfilled when they had to bow down in conjunction with the purchase of the Tzvuah. And the other dream was fulfilled later, when Yaakov came to Mitzrayim and he was bowing down to him. So it's not the same dream. So the Chalav is no kind. Baal HaTosfos quoted a Medrash on this pasuk. Why is it Rabbi Shamaris Hadavar follows the second dream? Why not following the first dream? It refers to both. Rabbi Shamaris Hadavar refers to both. The Baal HaTosfos posed the question. So they quote from a Medrash that in the beginning of Parshas Vayetze, Pasuk says, "Va'yivka b'malchum v'yal Hashem kivu ha-shemesh." What does it mean? Because the sun had set. So the Medrash comments on that Pasuk that when Yaakov Avinu came to that place, he heard the Malachim saying, "The Shemesh just came to this place." Shemesh referring to Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov never told that to any of his children, that the Malachim referred to him as Shemesh. That was the first time he ever heard about that. But the Malachim in heaven referred to him as the Shemesh. So now, when Yosef had a dream, and he said he saw the Shemesh representing his father, bowing down to him, so Yaakov Avinu saw that there's something to it, because he had never told anybody about that fact, that he had heard the Malachim refer to him, Ki Ruach HaShemesh, that Yaakov has come to the Malachim HaMikdash. So that's why only after the second, or the third, whichever it is, only after this second dream that's mentioned here, so as I say, the Abiyuk Shamar is Hadavar, because he saw that his mom is something to it. How would he know that I am called Shemesh? It must be that Minashamayim is showing him something. And on the word Esther, there are two Nekudas. And Rashi quotes from the Medrash, Nokud Alesh, Lahocha, Liros, Es Atzmon. What does it mean? You read the word, whenever you have a kudus, you consider that the word is closed out. So some Achranim ask Kakasha, if you're supposed to read it as if the word were crossed out, so why is the word written at all? Into the Zochiyas Akash. let the Chumash leave out all words. If you have a nekuda on one letter, or some of the letters yes and some of the letters no, but then you read it as if it, you read it twice, as if it is written, as if it's not written. Here the whole word has nekudas on it. So leave out the whole word, why do the Chumash have to write it at all? So they give different terutz in my discussion. So the Taz and his Sefer has an interesting comment. The Taz in the Divrei Dovid, our Chumash says, look in my Pirush on Yerideya and Hilchos Sefer Torah, and he says there's no kasha. I explained there that the nekudas didn't exist in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. That was added on by Ezra HaSefer. On the bottom of the page of the Divrei Dovid, they tell you to look in the novels of Rav Nosson and the Maaseh HaSefer, my friend, the Medrash, where Taka says like that, that the nekudas were added on by Ezra. Medrash says, the Obviously Rav Nosson says that Ezra started to put in the Nekudis, and then if Moshe Rabbeinu will say, what'd you put the Nekudis in for? What'd you alter the text of the Chumash for? So Ezra will say, but I didn't cross anything out. I left everything the way it is. So very strange. Probably not. Yes, things are not. If you add an extra oit, an oit is stable, if you add an extra letter, it's possible. Or let's say if you have tagim that don't touch the letter, but then the tag is in the tzura of a yud, so you have an extra yud. No, if you put the those nekudas, if you put the nekudas on the bottom, oh, that says in Shulchan Aruch that's possible for a different reason, because that's supposed to be the proper pronunciation. It's supposed to be Torah Shebal Peh. So you've made Torah Shebichtav. You've pushed the Torah Shebal Peh into the Torah Shebichtav. That's a different password. But just put dots all over the place. Dots that don't represent the nekudas of how you're supposed to pronounce the word. So apparently the Taz holds. Shrup is also a problem. You're putting the Shrup is supposed to be Torah Shebal Peh.
So what if it's going
out of range? Does it have to fall in the right place to the proper shadow? I don't know. This is a startling comment. I think Rabbi Shulman published an essay, wrote an essay about this, Obviously Rav Nosson. Is that the pshat in the Obviously Rav Nosson? Eli Shulman. I think I have to read it again and see what he says. Is that the real pshat in the Nekudas? One time learns that halacha from the Nekudas. No. Derech Hashem, Derech Lechotel Lohai, Lama Nachar Alhei, Shev Derech Lechotel Limed Loch, that it's Chutz Neastupa Tazor. We have not to pass like that time. We pass the Chutz in Tez Rav Nil. We draw a circle around the line Tez Rav Nil. But one time it's Chaylik in the Mishnah and Mishnah Yitomit. And he holds that Chutz Las Kutta Tazor, you learn from the fact that there's an Nekudas. You can't learn any demons from what Ezra Sefer put into the Chumash. You only learn from what Moshe Rabbeinu wrote. So Zolzain HaZay, what does it mean that was added on later on by, what does it mean that was added on Lyris Atakmon? So what did Ezra change over here? What did Ezra add on? So the Taz explains what it means. He says, there was their intention, and there was the Kavanah of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Human beings are running history, but the Ribbono Shel Olam is pulling the strings behind the scenes, and he's really running history. We think that we're running the world, and the Ribbono Shel Olam is really running the world. So the pasuk says, "Vayelch Echol Lyris Atzon Aviyem B'Shem." They went to pasture the animals in Shem. Apparently, there was a good grazing spot over there. And Ezra put in two nekudas on the word es to indicate, this is a question, how does it indicate that all of the Mepharshim have difficulty? Just because you have nekudas, how does it indicate Lyris Atzon? So the Ezra added this on to show what the Kavanah of the Borei Olam was. The Ribbono Shel Olam is pulling the strings behind the scenes, Lyris Atzon. This is going to begin the story of selling Yosef to Mitzrayim and Shibud Mitzrayim and Yisias Mitzrayim, and bringing about that during the Sheva Shnei Ha'arot there would be food, Lyris Atzmon. That's what he interprets. Usually you read the Medrash that Rashi quotes Lyris Atzmon, that the father asked his sons, Yaakov didn't ask his sons to take care of the behemoths, and he said they took the behemoths to Shem to pasture the behemoths, but that's not what they were doing. They weren't washing the behemoths. They went to the bars. They went to the saloons and they were drinking, they went to the movies and they were fooling around there, they went to the fishing and swimming. They weren't watching the animals. That's how you usually know Lyris Atzmon. They were supposedly taking care of the sheep and then neglected the sheep and they went and they were playing games. So the Taz says he doesn't think that that's what it means. Lyris Atzmon is the Pashat Kavanah that they had. They went to take care of the sheep, and the Ribbono Shel Olam's Kavanah was Lyris Atzmon. To see to it that there would be sustenance for the Jewish people in the Sheva Shnei HaSovo, Sheva Shnei HaYorov, and that the whole story of Shibud Mitzrayim should begin, and the Yetzias Mitzrayim should occur. The parasha begins by describing that the way the brothers hated Yosef. And Yaakov Avinu must have realized that they hated Yosef. So how did he How did he send them? Why did he send them? He didn't realize that there's a sakana. So the Rishonim asked this kasha. And they quote from Ibn Ezra, I didn't have a chance to look it up. The Baal HaFez quote from Ibn Ezra, I don't know if it's in Arabic or not. They quote another Baal HaFez that stayed on their own. They say that Shechem was such a dangerous place today. Shechem in Hebron, they have Jews living there. Shechem, they have a little yeshiva there. The Jews don't live there. Yeshiva in Hebron, they live somewhere else. And then they come in every day with their guns, with their rifles, and they sit in the yeshiva, and they go, they don't live in Shechem, they're no Jews. Shechem is a very dangerous place. So Yaakov Avinu was so afraid of the brothers' lives, were vada the sakana in Shechem from the Arabs. And Yosef's life was suffered the sakana. So he felt that it's permissible and necessary and required for Yosef to put his life in a suffered sakana in order to save the brothers from a vada sakana. This is a big deal in the Paskim Halakha Lamaisa, because Chitshuva at the end of Chayes HaMishpat discusses this. And the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Shabbos quotes it. Mishnah Berurah in Shin Chav Tes, I think. The end of Shin Chav Tes tells you to look in the Pesach Shul in the end of Chosh Mishpat, who has this deal. Is the person permitted or obligated to put his life into Safik Sakona in order to save someone else from a Vadai Sakona? If it's in wartime, it's a Vadai Mutter. It's a different thing. Let's say soldiers go in order to fight, and they know they're putting their lives in danger in order to save the country from Vadai Sakona. That's Allah Muhammad. During Shas Muhammad, so all the din of Pikras Nefesh are listed as different halacha. But if there's no din of Muhammad, it's just a din of Sakonis Nefesh, the Tarech HaLashay Muhammad, is the person permitted or perhaps obligated or forbidden? Three possibilities. Is it optional? Is it prohibited? Or is it required to put his life in Safik Sakona in order to save someone else from Vadei Sakona?
Why is it
Safik Sakona? Because the father should have realized that the brothers hated Yosef and they want to kill him. And they said, let's kill him. It's not close to Lahamiso. So the Baal HaTosef says, didn't Yankiv realize that his life, that Yosef's life is in danger? It's a Tachasofik Sakana, they may decide to kill him, and they almost did kill him. So the Baal HaTosef answered, yes, they realized that it was a Safik Sakana for Yosef, but it was a Vadai Sakana for the brothers to be in Shechem. When Yaakov heard that the brothers were in Shechem, Shechem was where the biggest murderers among the Arabs were, like today. For a minute. He's going to send it for a minute, not to stay there. His brothers here, the brothers are staying there for a long time. So he wanted Yosef to run to Shechem quickly and tell him to get out of there. Vayishlachehu me'emek Chevron. Rashi quotes the kashav al Chevron b'har, shenemer vayala b'negev vayala b'chevron. Hare Chevron. Usually you build a city on top of a mountain in order to be protected. You should look down. So Hebron is built on top of the mountain. So what does it say? Emek Hebron, so Rashi quotes a Medrash. So the Baal HaTosef quoted another answer. There's a famous Medrash that Rashi quotes later, the Gemara has that. That Yosef parasent the Adolos. So Vayah Yaakov, when Yaakov saw the Adolos, Hashem Shalach Yosef. Oh, then he realized that the brothers were telling the truth, that, oh, Yosef Chai. The whole time he didn't believe it, Yaakov didn't believe the brother that Yosef is still alive. How can it be? Then when he saw the Agolas, he realized that it's true. What was in Chadish name when he saw the Agolas? The Rashi quotes in the Medrash, he saw the Agolas, and the brothers told him the simon that Yosef had told them that the last halacha that he learned by the father was Egla Rufo. So it's very strange. Punk Egla Rufo? What were they holding in the middle of Egla Rufo? Just so happened, they were learning Daf Yomi, and that was the Parashat HaShavua, Egla Rufa. What is that to Egla Rufa? So the Baal HaTosef say on this pasuk, Chevron is in a mountain, Tzadkeh, Hori Chevron. But the father, Yaakov Avinu, was Malav Yosef part of the way till Emek Chevron. He took him from the house down the mountain till the Emek. He walked him part of the way. So Yosef told his father, Pa, you can stay home, you don't have to walk with me. They told him, no, it says in Parashat Egla Rufo that the Zikmei Sahedin have to say, Yadena Lashav Chasadam Azarein Ein Eloi Lo. And the Mishnah says in Sayyidin, if he thought the Daitach Shabez Mishav Chidomimein, that they have to say, Yadena Lashav Chasadam Azarein Ein Eloi Lo. Elo, Shalosh Tatanu, Belo Lechem, Belo Leviyo. That's what it means, that if you want Malave, if there was a bum who comes to ask for food, you have to give him food, Jewish folks. If you give him food, then you have to be Malave him. And if you didn't give him food, or even if you gave him a delicious meal, you are Malave him, then you can't say Yadena Lashachwa Sadama Zeh, because you are responsible partially for his death. If you would have been Malave him, they would have added a Shmira. So that's what Yaakov tells Yosef. Yosef tells father, father, go back, you're not to walk him all the way. And he keeps on insisting, no, he's going to walk him all the way down to Lamech. He's not going to walk him all the way to Shechem. He doesn't need him to go. He's going to walk him all the way down to Malabah and part of the way. In modern times, there's a whole discussion, what is the Shir Leviyah? How far is a person who used to be Malabah, a guest who's walking away? So that was talking the last thing that Yaakov told Yosef when he saw him last. It says in the Parsha Segel Arum for the din of being Malabah people. That's why it says, Me'emek Hevron. Very strange, but he's not close for Lahamiso. They wanted to kill him. Why in the world did they want to kill him? Just because they hated him, they were going to kill him. But the Rishonim discussed this. But some Balei HaPeis to say that they thought that he had a dune of Avodah Zarah. Because he said, all the stars are bowing down to me. They understood his chalom. They interpreted his chalom in the sense that he was setting himself up as an Avodah Zarah. So that's why they felt that it was Chaydus. So others give a different shot. The Baal HaTos also asked, why was Yosef so foolish as to tell over the Chalomis to the brother? Didn't he realize that it's going to cause jealousy and hatred? So he said that Yosef felt that the Chalomis were pure Nevuah, and he would have a din of Kovish Nevuasa. And obviously Kovish Nevuasa is Chaydus. Other Rishonim say that, other Baal HaTos say, yeah, Yosef told over the Chalomis the Teret Nevuah. And the brothers thought that it was so utterly bizarre, it was so ridiculous. It's not lost La Misa, he's a Navi Hashekar. He felt that it's ridiculous. Baruch Shalom gave you such a crazy dream. You're a liar and you're a Navi Hashekar. That's why they wanted to give him these. So first they decided they're going to kill him, then they said, no, lo nakonu nafesh, ashlichu es alabor hazeh. They took off his tzenestas and they threw him into the bor, and then it says, Vayushvu lecha lechem. And they sat down and they started to eat. So Yehuda says, Ma'abetz ha-kinargus rachinu, v'chisinu ez-damay. What's the pshat ma'abetz, huh? So the Targum Onkel says, Ma'amomen nitani lona. Rashi writes, Ma'amomen kitagumay. Ma'abetz ha-ma'amomen nitani. What are we going to gain out of killing him, v'chisinu ez-damay, covering up his death? Let's sell him, we'll make a few dollars. So I saw one of the Balei HaTosfos interprets mamish like we would say in English. Sometimes you make a verb out of a noun. A pocket. You have a pocket in your pants. You say, we're going to pocket the money. So one of the Balei HaTosfos says, the kisinu es domoy. We're going to pocket his money. Kiss. He made a verb out of a noun. The word kiss. It doesn't. The kisinu is spelled in the chumash chav samach yud nun vav. So he interprets it in the sense, he learns that that's Pshuta Shamikra. Ma betza, he interprets like this. Vayesh v'lech alechem, it's that time to eat bread. So the Pasuk speaks about B'tziyat HaPas, the Gemara talks about B'tziyat HaPas. So Livtzoa means to eat food. So Yehuda tells the brothers, Ma betza, kinara gesachino. Mazeh anachno, we're sitting and eating and saying brachas over the food after we're going to kill our brother. That's ridiculous. V'chisino and damai. Let's sell them and we'll pocket the money. So he interprets that these are two different paragraphs. Ma betza kinar gesachinu. He doesn't interpret betza in the sense of mammon, like Rashi quotes from the Targum Onkel. He interprets betza in the sense of bitziyat hapas. Ma zeh shanachnu ochlim al harigas ha'ach. We're eating and drinking and we're being merry, but we're not making anything out of it. Not making. Let's go sell them. V'chisinu et bammon. We'll pocket the money. V'chuvnu l'kren al Yishmael. So what did they do? They took the Ksenes HaPasim. Vayishalchu at Ksenes HaPasim. Vayavir le'alavim. What do you mean Vayishalchu? They sent it. Vayishalchu. So one of the Balei HaTosfos interprets based on a Lashon of Navi. Navi Basholach. Basholach means a crack. A rip, a tear. Vayishalchu at Ksenes HaPasim. They ripped the Ksenes HaPasim. If they took off his jacket and they give it to the father and they say, found the jacket hanging on the tree, Chayaru Achalosu. What the Chayaroa took off his jacket? It means that he hung his jacket up. It means that Yosef hung his jacket up and then the Chayaroa ate him up. So that's why the Balei HaTosfos, so one of the Balei HaTosfos interprets that they ripped the Ksenes HaPasim. By Shalchum Miloshim, which the Shalech means to rip. They ripped the jacket. Others, other Bala Taisis have Aishalchu that they slept the jacket on the ground. They dragged it on the ground to get it soiled, to get it dirty, to rip it a little bit on the bushes. And then they gave it to the father. Not by Shalfa's name, by Aviv. By Shalfa means a description of what they did to the extent it's possible. Then by Aviv, then they brought it to the father. Not by Shalfa means they sent it to the father.
Because
they thought
they
had right to get rid of him because he was an Ovid Zara or an Ovid Shekhar.
Yaakov's
not going to
protect an Ovid Shekhar and Ovid Zara.
But he was protected.
So that's the case for Yaakov.
Rashi quotes from the Medrash because that's why by Moin Lehisnachem, because he wasn't really dead. The Rashi says, his father, Yankee's father, namely Yitzchak, that's Yaakov. Then by Yaakov, so his father Yitzchak was crying with him. Also, he was crying. Yitzchak, his father, Rabbi Yaakov, was crying with him, with Yaakov. Not that Yaakov was crying over his son Yitzchak. That's how Rashi quotes from the Medrash. That Yitzchak, the father of Yaakov, was crying with Yaakov. What kind of a din is that? So the Rishonim say that's the din that it has in the Gemara and my cotton. If I pair my cotton, call him a sabalolo. Mistabil Imai. If you have a relative, it's Machlek Satanaim there. If you have a relative who, if that relative would die, you would have to observe Shiva. So if that relative is eating Shiva on his relative, then you have to observe Shiva together. You have to observe Shiva together with that relative. So that's what over here. Yaakov is observing Shiva. If Yankov were to die, Yitzchak would have to sit Shiva to his son Yaakov. So now that Yaakov is sitting Shiva to his son Yosef, because he thought that he was dead, so the din required that Yitzchak should sit Shiva together with Yaakov. It happens that we don't pass them like that. We pass them Lo Yomru Ela, the Gemara has a Machlokes Satan, right? So the thing that we accept Lalach is Lo Yomru Ela Al Chomer B'Chamosim and Thanks for Ishtar. Only if it's parents-in-law. And even that it says in the Shulchan Aruch that we don't observe this man as that, because we assume that the whole din that a husband and a wife have to sit Shiva with their spouse, have to observe Shiva with their spouse when they're sitting Shiva for their parents. In other words, you have to observe a Shiva for in-laws. That's only with Snake Floyd Ishtar, Snake Floyd Abal. And as much as we assume that all the spouses are Mechal and the Kovic, and therefore we don't observe this deal of Avelis at all. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. So this interpretation is according to the other Tana in the Gemara, that there really is such an Indian. That Kala Mesabel Olav Mesabel Imon. So the Pasuk says he was finally brought down to Mitzrayim, and he was sold to Potiphar's Risparo, Sar HaTabachim. Mazar Sar HaTabachim. So the Talmud Munkel says, Rav Kotelayo, the chief executioner. And Rashi interprets, the chief butcher. So the Rishonim is, Rashi and Rambam is. How did Rashi know? Why did Rashi disagree with the Talmud Munkel? So one of the Mephoshim says that Rashi is very shver. What prompted the Talmud Munkel to say the Epshat? He could happen to be a butcher. If the Pasuk says later that they didn't eat flesh, the Mitzrayim didn't eat flesh. So that's what prompted the Talmud Munkel to say Tara Tabachim means the chief executioner. Not a tabach like we use, a tabach in the sense of a butcher. It has to mean an executioner they had. That wasn't against the religion, but to eat flesh was against the religion. So that's why the Talmud doesn't learn like Rashi. But what prompted Rashi to say not like the Talmud Munkel? That's the Ramban Esther. So Rashi quotes from the Gemara, what does it mean by Yereg? Shaharidu Echov Migduloso. He used to treat him as a Melech, so now he became Ois Melech. Why? Because this was all his genius idea. We saw the way the father was aggravated to death. The father was crying and crying all the years. So the father was aggravated. This whole idea was Yehuda's idea. Let's sell them and keep the money. And then they saw how much grief it caused the father, that they no longer held Yehuda in the high esteem that he was treated, because they no longer treated him like a melech. Tzvi Pesach Frank in his in the Sefer Chumash, where they have the Vetla. Tzvi Pesach Frank, Har Tzvi quotes there the name of the Maharil Biskin. Maharil Shulah Biskin used to be a Rav and Brisk. They always used to name the Brisker Rav. He was the Brisker Rav. He was a big tzaddik. So he quotes in the end of Maharil Biskin the following interpretation. The pasuk says that Yehuda's son died and he was married and had no children, so the brother did leave him. So then the brother died, and Tamar wanted to marry Shelah, and Yehuda didn't give her to Yehuda didn't allow Shelah to marry her. So then she wanted to marry Yehuda. This part doesn't say. She wanted to marry Yehuda and he didn't want. So then she had to dress up like a Zayin. That part does say in Chumash. This part does say in Chumash. That she said, okay, Shelah is too young, so what about you? The Rambam says that when they didn't have the full din of Yibum, they didn't have the real mitzvah of Yibum, so they had it as a minig, and the minig was any one of the Kraven would fulfill Yibum. So the father-in-law would also do Yibum. So the Merov Biskin fills in the missing parts over here. He says that she requested of Yehuda, Shelah is too young, so you do Yibum, so he didn't want to do Yibum. So later she tricked him into doing Yibum by dressing up as a Zayna, and so on. So why didn't he want to fulfill Yibum if that was the minig on Dina? That was the minig on Mokr? So the Maharil Biskin interprets, because Yehuda held he has a din melech, in the Mishnah Sanhedrin, that a melech is not miyabim. Melech is not allowed to fulfill Yibum, because it's a bizarre for the melech that he should be the substitute for the other guy. I'm your mamale mokim. What do you mean I'm your mamale mokim? I'm bigger than you. So Yehuda held him that he had a din melech. And the emes was that he didn't have a din melech, because by Yered Yehuda miyasechel, he was ois melech. So how did she prove that to him? How did she prove to him that what Rashi says from the Gemara is correct, by Yered Yehuda? He was Zayin Melech, because when he met her as a Zayna, so he requested Havana over Eliyah. But I told him, articulate, what are you going to give him? So he said, I'll send you the Yidim. So she said, but give me something now. So he said, Mohai Ravan Shiratanach, Hatamach, Samchav Silech, Matchav Shibiyadech. So she requested of him some of his personal belongings. The Akronim has this chart. Says the Laderach and Tazak. That one of the Akronim Achumish has this chart. But Yosef played the Dato. That according to the way the Ramban is based on the Zohar. Ramban is based on the Zohar. This is an Indian of Yidum. Akronim Achter Yidum could be fulfilled by other relatives as well. So the din after Matan Torah is that after you fulfill Yibum, the Yavam is the Ha, if it's an Yitzir, it's Yishtach. So the answer is that the Makan Mitzvah is Mutah. Maybe it's only Mutah, Diri Shoinah, the Yishnir should be Yosef. So the Gemara says no. Yivam Yavam Leho, how does it say? Yivam Yavam Leho, or Lekocha Lo Leisha. So the Gemara, Yivam is Kamitz Kimisha, Lekocha, Nazis Kishta Lechol Dova. What does it mean, Nazis Kishta Lechol Dova? That he's not only Mutter Birishayin, he's Mutter even Birishayin. That's what the Gemara calls Hol Bishtar Yishtarim. Since the Birishayin is Mutter, Birishayin is also Mutter. But what if she's a Chavi Lavin? What if Yivam is a Chavi Lavin? And the only reason why the Yavam was permitted to be born out Birishayin was because that's a Dechol. He says it. So then the Gemara says, Menatar, it's Mutter to do Yivam, but it's only Mutter Birishayin. But Birishayin would be awesome. But the Rabbanah, they prohibited to do Yivam at all. They're Birishayin out to Birishayin. So they forbid it. So sometimes the din is that you're only allowed to do Birishayin. Sometimes the din is, Lekocha Lo Leisha, Kivisha Lekocha Nasis, Kivisha Lekocha. So one of the Achranim interprets, maybe the Batanur, I forgot it. What the Rosh Hashanah says, that that's the Machlekes and the Medrash that Rashi quotes, for Leyasa Kodle Daita. He was a father-in-law. Kodle Matan Tere, everything was Mutter. Father-in-law was allowed to marry a daughter-in-law, and the father-in-law does Yibma. The question is, Kodle Matan Tere, do they have this din also? That Nasis Kishka Lachal Davis, the Birishayin is also Mutter, or only the Birishayin was Mutter. He says that's the issue, the two interpretations that Rashi quotes in the Medrash. Lo Yosef Dinkma Hoysif, over like Tosa. Keep shot. Oh, he did not. No man bears by nothing. There's no man bears by Behemoth either. Whom was this Hayem? He was a Namzer, that's why he developed a Namzer. That's me, it's a hybrid. It is a hybrid. There's no Chaloshim Su Namzer, but Behemoth is also not Su Namzer. The pasuk says that Eir b'chol Yehuda was Rabbi Yehuda Hashem b'ayim Yisehu Hashem. Then the pasuk says Yehuda told his other son Oynon, Eir b'yayim Oynon should marry her, and he didn't want to. V'ayir Rabbi Yehuda Hashem Asher Osev Ayom Mizgamos. He was also punished. The Shela was too young and he didn't want to give it to Shem. But the Medrash says they were all very young. Eir, Oynon, Shelo, they were all very, very young. So the Bali HaTaisis, the Rishonim is, the Chazkuni, other Rishonim, they all ask, how come I am Yisehu Hashem if the Beis Shamayla doesn't punish before the age of 20? All these three, everybody here was before the age of 20. So how come HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes? The Gemara says, B'kamim L'chaimis, that the Beis Shamayla doesn't punish until the age of 20. Some Bali HaTaisis say that the age of 20 is loved out, means he has to have the mature seichel of a person who's reached the age of 20. Sometimes you have a person who's 10, who's very mature. Sometimes you have a person who's 25, who's very immature. But the Bezer Shamaylo is only managed those who have the maturity of an average 20-year-old, and these guys were pretty mature. They were mature enough. And others interpret Alpi Kabbalah, I'm not familiar with the sources, that the Pasuk says, V'hi Eir B'chol Yehuda Rabbi Hene Hashem, by Niseiru Hashem Yudkevavke. How come it says Hashem? Usually Yudkevavke is Midas Arachim, Midas Achesed, and Elakim. You should say by Niseiru Elakim. Din, Shevet. So, a group of Mefarshim claimed that Afi Kabbalah, they weren't punished because of the Chet that they did. And Achanan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't punish, Bezer Shammah doesn't punish before the age of 20. The reason why they died was the Midas Arachim, the Midas Achesed, the Rebbeinu Shalom wanted to bring about Mashiach, that the birth of Mashiach should be prepared. And he wanted Mashiach to be from the descendants of Yehuda with Tamar. So that, if he wouldn't have died, if Eir wouldn't have died, he would have lived happily ever after, Tamar would never get to marry her father-in-law. So Vayimiseu Hashem Yudkevavke, and also Vayomis Gamoso, the second had to die here, Rabbein Hashem HaShorot, Vayomis Gamoso, this was all a plan, Min HaShemayim, not as a punishment to them, but as a big scheme to see to it, to force Tamar to get married to Yehuda, and they should have the child that should turn out later to be the Melech HaMashiach. In fact, the Medrash has that comment. That's a famous Medrash that different Balei Musa speak about. The Medrash comments on this parsha. Everybody was busy doing their own thing. Yehuda is busy doing his thing, Yankov is busy doing his thing, and Yosef is busy doing his thing. And Yehuda is busy doing this thing. What's the Rebbeinu Shalom doing? The Rebbeinu Shalom is preparing Orish al Mashiach. And this parsha, he's preparing Orish al Mashiach because Mashiach later on came from Paris. Usually what they interpret it to mean is, well, what does the Medrash say? Everyone's busy doing their thing. Usually all the interpretations boil down to one main point, that Mashiach somehow is apparently going to come the Hetzach Hadas. But we're going to be busy, everyone's going to be busy doing something else. This one's going to be busy fighting his battle. This one's going to be busy writing his paper. This one, no one is going to be preparing for the Melech HaMashiach. It's going to come. Everyone's busy with their own thing. And then the Melech HaMashiach is going to come like this. He has such a similar thought. Last week said, it says, Vayivasa Yankit Levadoi. So Rashi quotes from the Gemara that he left Pachim Tanim. And usually Pachim Tanim has become an expression in Hebrew and Yiddish. Pachim Tanim means little things, insignificant things, peanuts, little stuff. So Yaakov Avinu is busy with these insignificant things, and then what happens? All of a sudden the whole panorama of the history of the Jewish people becomes in Galatin. The fight with the Malach represents the whole future histalshulot of the history of the Jewish people. Until Vayavik Yishima Ad Alos Hashachat Till Bias HaMashiach. That's in the Medrash in Pesach. Ad Alos Hashachat Till Mashiach will come. It's also that same idea. He's worried about his Pachim Tanim and he's not even paying attention. And all of a sudden Mashiach comes to Hesach HaDas. Yankee Kamenetsky has an interesting comment in his paper also along these lines. He comments on the two twins. That the Mialebes Tamar had twins. One was Derech and one was Peres. She put a batik shal yad nishan alim with the yad nishan alim. And she got it put, pulled his hand back in. And the other brother came out. Ma parat salah Peres yikishma Peres. And then the other one came out. Shem yad ashtani yikishma Zara. A shiny, sparkling piece of cloth. So what does that mean? So he suggests that perhaps this represents, he says, the Rambam quotes, the Rambam says in the end of Hilchos Melachim, when he quotes all the members of that the Yasam Shech, he says, we don't really know what's going to be till Mashiach is going to come, then we'll know what's going on. Till Mashiach comes, we're not sure. So he says, but if it's nitzan to guess, Rabbi Yankov writes, if it's possible to guess, so he suggests that maybe the Kavan over here is this, that when Mashiach will be about to come, there's going to be a sparkling, there's going to be a real hope, parets. A hand is going to stick out and then it's going to go back in. A hand is going to stick out, it's going to tie on a shining, a sparkling zarah, thing that shines, and then it's going to disappear. And the people are going to think, no, we made a mistake. And then Paretz is going to break through all of a sudden and dance in a different thing. We thought that that was it, it's going to be a dance in a different thing. And the Mashiach will jump out because the Mashiach is going to be a descendant of Paretz. That's what the prophet says in the Gilas Ruth. That Yehuda had a child Paretz and he had a child Hashem, and then he came down to Dovra Melech and saw Mashiach ben Dovra will be a descendant from Paretz. The Rishonim and Achronim are bothered with the story here in the Chumash. How could it be that Yehuda has an affair with a Zayna? Isn't that strange? So the Mizrahi suggests the whole, constructs the whole interpretation, which the Bali Atei just said. Strange enough, the Bali Atei just said the whole shot. Very strange. How did he guess what they said? He didn't have the Kisliyat, and he guessed the exact same shot. That he was Mekadosher with these things. You need Eidus Lekima Dover. So Adam Choshev always goes with other people, so you have a few people there, and he gave the kids the Kiddushin, and the Minigis, and the Bali Ataisi say, it's you Bali Ataisi say this. And the Minigis, the Mikadosh with the ring, and that's what she asked for, Chasamcho, the ring, the Mikadosh with the ring, it is the Kimad over everything. She only gave it with an Eravon, Mohai Eravon Asher, Eten Loch, and Titu Lidei Eravon, the Gemara says, it's Kachidi the Mone, Hafimu Nothan Ola Mashkin, Mone Inka Mashkin Inka, and Mikadosh Mashkin is good as only Mashkin Dacher, because it's kind of like the Rav Yitzchok, but if it's mashkin today, it's no good. So the Rishonim has this kasha, but the Tosis has the kasha. So they say, based on what Tosis says on Kedushin and not that. But if I give the Isha a diamond ring, and I say, you can keep this ring, you should own $100 worth of this ring. I am a Kedushin sleep with $100 of this ring, but I reserve the right to buy back the $100 of the ring by giving you a behemoth later. These, I'm going to give you a behemoth that's worth $100. So good. That's not a mashkin. He was marked with $100 worth of the ring with the right, that he reserved the right to buy it back. So that's not a mekadosh the mashkin, that's mekadosh the tabak. He doesn't want to give it the whole ring, he wants to give $100 worth of tabak. This whole interpretation, a big chunk of it, the Rabbi Mizrahi doesn't say the whole thing, but this is what the Bali Atei said, this whole pshah, so Rabbi Mizrahi gets part of it. Yeah. So the Tzeda Laderech doesn't realize that this is from the Bali Atesis, he just quotes it from the Mizrahi. So he says it's Merab the Nigre. The whole Chumash is obvious that she's a Zayna. And he says, what in the world is the man talking about? Rabbi Mizrahi presents the Kasha like this. The reason why is the Rambam, and they write at the beginning of the issues by Pani Habal Abdush, Lodashem issues, whether they violate these of the Sif Desha or not. So the Rambam says it's a violation of the love, and the Ravid says, no, there's no love. Some Achreim HaMadayik and the Ravid means that there's no love. He says there's no love. There's only Nisarese of Ki Kechi Shisho Viola. That no one should have, no one should do an act of Znus without first getting married. And then it's not Maisa Znus. It's a Nisarese. But it's not that it's a Nisalav. And the Rambam holds that it's a Nisalav. But even the, so according to the Ravid, when is the Nisalav of Lesif Desha? But she's, if she's Mufkeris and Mismanis Znus. And even according to the Rambam, also this is a love, because Mishnah tells you to look in the Rambam Hilchos Na'arav Psula, but the Rambam writes that the real love, and for Malka's purpose, is only if she's Mufkeris and Mismanis Znus. The Stampon Abolap Nuya is also included in the love. It's like a love total. The love should be called the Gampe Nichlo, the Yisin there. But it's not the Yisra love, it's not Pshutu Shomik. So therefore the Rambam would also agree that there's no love. But if the woman is Mufkeris and Mismanis Znus, she's a Kdesha. She's Mamish Zaino. So the Rambam and the Rabbi both agree that there's the real love. That's the real love. So that's what the Rabbi Mizrahi has. So how can it be that Yehuda violates the real Isa love like the Kedesh? That's why the Mizrahi presents. So he gets to this Peretz and he says, the Kadosh with Eidus and Kimadova and all Chad Yadu. So the Tzeda Laderech But the author of the Be'er Sheva, the Tzedek Algev, says, how can he say such a shkidot Torah? He says, look in the Rambam, the beginning of the first issue. The Rambam writes explicitly, tell the Matan Torah, Hayodim Pogea, Isha Bashuk. He could meet himself as Zainra Alein Haderach on the crossroads on the highway. He's going to be borel and shine. And Lacha Matan Torah, Nitzin Torah, Nischat Shalocha. And there was a new din that it's a Nitzin's Luch, and it's a Zaina, and now you have to be in the Kaddish in the presence of two witnesses. So the Magen Mishnah writes on that Rambam, Maisa Yehuda V'Tomba Yochia. How did the Rambam know that Kodim Matan Torah was Mutter to be Mizana with a Kdesha? From this Parsha. So the Tzedek Al-Derech says, what have that Chinese? Why do you have to give such a wild shot? The Rambam learns Parsha Pshat. It was Mutter to be Bo'ala Zayin. Mutter is Mutter. Why is she getting punished? That's a good kasha. Rashi quotes that kasha. Vayikim mishloish chadoshim. Vayikim mishloish chadoshim. Vayikim mishloish chadoshim. Vayikim mishloish chadoshim. She's pregnant. Obviously she was Mizana. Vayikim Yehuda hotziyuha v'sisa reis. Why hotziyuha v'sisa reis? Why hotziyuha v'sisa reis? She's going to give her Einish Mrs. Benzin. That's the pasuk shot. Misa. The Torah quotes, and the Tirish HaTorah HaTorah quotes Pshat from Yirachas, and the other, some other Rishayim also write that it doesn't mean Sisa Reif is going to burn her. We're going to give her Misa's Bezin. Sisa Reif is going to burn a mark on her forehead, like in the scarlet letter. You burn a mark, you burn an A, or a Zainon, a Zion, or a Kuf, Kadesha, on her forehead, or on her cheeks, but everyone should know that she's a Zainon, that they should stay away from her. But now that she's ugly, and they want to stay away from her, they're going to ruin her beauty. And what right do you have to do that? So they all say Makni Yen Shishlom Hadin. And they stress that halacha Bez Makni Shishlom Hadin is not limited to the Bez Mishra Yisrael. The Bez Shalom Yisrael also have that authority to make temporary punishment. Shalom Hadin. But that's Rabbi Yerachos' interpretation that the Torah and other Rishonim quote Hotziyo V'Sisa Reis doesn't mean Mishra Bez. All it means is a mark. But the other Rishayim understands Tisa Reit means, the Medrash seems to understand. Rashi quotes in the Medrash, Tisa Reit means Misa's Bezin. The Yankee Kamenetsky in fact comments on the passage, why it's Hotzi Yuha? He would say, what mean Hotzi Yuha? Because it says by Yitzhak HaMakalel, on Yitzhak HaMachanet. So the Gemara from Heaven says that you have to give Misa's Bezin, Chutz L'Sholosh Machanet. You now better give Misa's Bezin the Seichel Yir. That's the Dafke, Chutz L'Bezin and Chutz L'Yir. Rabbi Yankee Kamenetsky says the way the Medrash understands when Tisa Reif means Tisa Bezin, so you have to take her all the way up. It's interesting, the Medrash understands that it means Tisa Bezin. The Yishami with the Medrash say, Vayomer Yehuda, what's Yehuda opening his mouth? If they had a Bezin, should have the Acheres his father Yankee? Yankee should speak first. But the Yishami says, no, Adarabbi, because indeed in the Pasha, it's Poschim and Atzah. But the Mishnah and Sanhedrin, the Yishami and the Medrash say like that. So when the Yishami and the Medrash interpret Kipshuta with Sisa Reis, we are Oynish Misa Zezni. And Yehuda is speaking first. Why? Because in Dina Nefasha is the least Talmud Chacham has to speak first. And Yankin spoke later. How could be a problem in front of Zezni? I don't know. But that's what the Yishami and Sanhedrin and the Medrash Rabbah say on this passage. So why was she Takachai Misa? So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, she was Bitor Shal Shem, Amar Aflai Makshor. An opinion in the bright, and Mishum Rab Meir. Atana says name Rab Meir. Bito shal shem ha ito shuka in the tichuch tanu ha bisreifa. Tichuch tanu ha bisreifa. So the Rambani is learning, a fast train says into the Chai Misa, she's married, but if she's a Pruya, she's not Chai Misa. The Chlam, what is he talking about? The Rambani is that kind. And the Achrayim asked another kasha. Who says that Shem was a Kohen? How did they get that idea Shem is a Kohen? It says, who Kohen is Kel Elyon? Al-Tzedek Melech Shalom, who Kohen is Kel Elyon? Now he says, Al-Tzedek is Shem Benoit. So the Medrash comments on that person, who Kohen Bein Bonach Kohan? This is the Gemara also, on the Dorm, no? The Gemara on the Dorm says, he lost Tekunah because he didn't Birchas Eved L'Birchas Rabo. First he says, Baruch Avram L'Kel Elyon, then he says, Baruch Hashem Shabigim Serech B'Yadecho. He hid in Birchas Eved, Birchas Rabo, so he lost the Kohanim for his children. So it says, who Kohen the Kohanim, who Kohen the Bein Kohanim? So if his children were not Kohanim, so she's not a Kohen. So she's not a Kohen, so she's not betrayed. A Kohanim is a Kohanim, so she should not be betrayed. The Mishnah in Shumas has a whole din. let's say the father's a Kohen and the daughter is not a Kohen. How can it be the father married a Gusha? The daughter's a Halolo, so the daughter is not the Shreifa. In fact, there's even a Machlokes Hapaim. What if the father married, the father's a Kohen and he married a regular woman and the daughter is a Kohen, and the daughter is Nivul al-Apostolo? So she became Nisala Menakuna. She's not allowed to be Tumah because Nivul al-Apostolo. Does she still get Shreifa? Does she not get Shreifa? And Mark Sanhedrin quotes that Machlokes Hapaim from a Mishnah in Trumas. But if she was never a Kohen to begin with, if who Kohen, they ain't born of Kohanim, how can it be that she's the Shreifa? Unless you say who ain't born of Kohanim was from that time on, he was punished. She was born before. Toma was a Bikur Shal Shem, and she was born before that punishment was given to Shem. So whichever children were born before were Kohanim, only the children were born later were not Kohanim. Maybe, but they got that cash. Well, what was Takadi Averi that she did? Is exactly what she's Kukali Yavam. That's what some say. Kukali Yavam. Mazes, Kukali Yavam. There was only a minute. Ramban says that they had a minute to perform Yibo Mishak Raven. So because of a minute, you give an Einish Misam. So the Gemara said, and the Gemara says, Nabai Dizara, Jaflam is Ravam. You could give intermarriage. The Gemara says that there were those of Stam Yenam and Pasakum and Bishlakum. All of these prohibitions are because of Bnei Seir. Because of intermarriage. The Gemara says, what's with Bnei Seir? That group and Issa Derais and Issa Derabonis. The Gemara says sometimes Derais and sometimes Derabonis. The Gemara says this over here was what? She was Jewish. Tamar was Jewish. She married Ervi Yona. Obviously she must have converted prior to the marriage. She was Jewish. We didn't know whom she was in Zana with, but the assumption for sure she must have been in Zana with a guy. Which Jew is she going to be in Zana with? Judah didn't know that he was the one. When he found out, talked to him many, so then they didn't give her the Yonish Mitzvah. But originally they thought that she had been in Zana with a guy. But the Gemara and Avodah Zarah understands that that's why they were going to give her this Yonish Mitzvah. Because if a Yisraelis is in Zana with a guy, if it's Derech Chasnus, if they get married officially, they're officially married, then it's an Issa D'Raisa, Loitus Chateibam, Derech Chasnus. If they just live together, Bezilus, they're just Mizana temporarily, not Derech Chasnus, then it's Dina Shal Shem goes roller. Then it's Xeir the Rabbanim. In the days of Shem, who is that? So the Gemara says, this is the part, because you obviously saw it, this is the Dina Shal Shem. They were going to give her a Nainish Misa. What do you mean, Nainish Misa? They told me, Xeir Bezina Shal Shem, it's not a Misa D'Raisa. The Gemara, they calls it D'Raisa. The Gemara later calls it the Gemara on the same daf, on Lamed Vav, in Avodah Zarah. Says in Bendina Shoshen goes Rav Shadam Hatsiyo of Zisar, then the Gemara says, well, that's their right. It means it's written in the Torah, but it's in the Farshim's claim, it's written in the Torah, but it doesn't mean that it's an Isa their right. You have sometimes the Xeris that are written in the Torah, which are not their right. This is Bendina Shoshen of Zayis. So what right do they have to give Sreiko? So well, that's what the Rishonim say. Again, it's well done. They say it was Harah Shor. It was just, there's not me answering the Torah Hashor. And why did he give Sreifa? Well, she was a Bas Kohen, even if she didn't have the din of Sreifa's Bas Kohen, because she was a Pluyo. And even if you should say who Kohen is Zara Kohen, she wasn't a Kohen, it's the real din of Bas Kohen, she's in, so doesn't apply, but they wanted to punish her because of the Xerah Beis Din Shel Shem, so they decided by Rosh Hashanah to make the milk, so they're going to give her Sreifa. And when they realized that she was Zana with a Jew, then there was no problem at all. And the pasuk says, "How to you have a sister, right? Let's give her misa. Aye, but she's pregnant with a baby. Was it the baby shoulder? So there's a mishnah in Erchin, the end of the first parak in Erchin, that says that if a woman is muberes and the baby catches her and she's chayv misa because of chil shabbos, or zora, and she did so whatever other she did, so they give her the misa even though the baby is going to get killed, even though she's pregnant and the uber is going to die." Unless she's in labor. If she's in labor, if Yashua Allah Mashbir, so then the Mishnah says, Bamtina Lacha Taylor, you wait till the baby's born. But if she's not in labor, so you kill her. So the more comments on the ratio of the Mishnah, that if the woman is Muberis, Muberis, she needs Medina Lamisa, Bezin Sokomoso, afraid of Gemara Kasha, Pshita. So the first one is Gemara, why is it Pshita? Then the Gemara says, not so Pshita, Mao de Taymo, you shouldn't say the Dabal, you shouldn't kill Isha, why not? Because the Torah says that the Nevel Ovis goes to the father of the baby. If anyone who is allowed to take to the father, since either the father owns the Uber, I would have thought that it's not proper for Bezin to give the Yonish Misa to the Ishmael Beres because there's Pseida Debal. Kamash Milan, that you ignore that Pseida Debal. You don't worry about that. So the Iran and Perik and the Traitress quotes from the Baal HaTaisis, the Ram and the Mithras, the Chulin. What does the Gemara say? Pshita. Why is it Pshita? You're killing the Uber. And Mao detained up, stated the Baal. Mao detained me, you're killing the Uber. The Baal Shalom, that you're not. And how do you know that it's Mutter? So in the Ravir Hazal, he says that the Gemara knew it from this passage. It says, how's your office? It says that she was pregnant, and it didn't bother them at all. So they're going to kill her despite the fact that she was pregnant. That's what the Gemara said. She's out of passage in the Chumash. That when a person deserves Nisa, you ignore the fact that she's pregnant with a baby. Why does it mention that she was pregnant? You got Lahudi Lemon's answer, the Gam Hine Haral is no name. Why does it have to say that he was going to give her a Sreifa because she was pregnant? And if she wouldn't be pregnant, he wouldn't give her the Sreifa. I mean, if she wouldn't be pregnant, they wouldn't have known that she was Madonna. How would they know? But it doesn't sound like it. And as far as that's the question, about you got Lahudi Lemon, Zonsa Koma Kalosecha. The Gam Hine Haral is no name. It should say, Zonsa Koma Kalosecha. Key. He horse the horse of his name. No, it says 3 months later with Huka Rubra. The Gemara learned that in this passage.
If she was Madonna and she knew not that she was pregnant, because if she was Madonna, they didn't have to wait
for her. No, no, no. So the passage says they only knew that she was Madonna by virtue of the fact that she became pregnant. But why does it say, it sounds as if he's going to give her the Yonish Misa because she's pregnant. It should say he's going to give her the Yonish Misa because she was Madonna. Huh? You can say that's what it means. You can say that's what it means. So there's a famous raise that they say. I don't remember how it goes. Let's see. There is a Mishnah in Sanhedrin, that Tayala or something, that Tay, something over there, where the Mishnah says, what if Bezin has a few people in jail? Nine people are chayiv skilo, and one guy is chayiv only chenek. And they're all locked up in jail. And then somehow there's a prison break, and everybody gets mixed up, and they ripped off their tag, and we can't identify who's who. But we know all these 10 guys are chayiv nisa. We can identify which one is chayiv chenek, which nine are chayiv skilo. So it's a Mishnah that says chayiv skilo shemesarav b'chayiv sreifo is yodunu b'kalo, whichever is the Einish Kam. Which is the Einish Kam? So Taisus quotes a kasha in the name of the Rabbi Natan. Taisus on Nadav quotes it, and Taisus in the beginning of Kulin, the first seven Kulin quotes. But the Gemara learns that from a pasuk that you go past the rosin. Even the pasuk, so why don't you say that they're bottled the roi? If nine people are high in skilo and one guy is high chenek, so say you go past the rosin. You give them all skilo. Why do you say you're doing the kalo? Say you go past the rosin. So the pasuk pshat is bottled the roi. Bottled the roi, you say. That's what the Chavizah says. B'nei Yodim are not bottled the roi b'nei Torah. B'nei Chaim are not bottled the roi b'nei Torah. Only the Rabban on the Rishayim say, but B'nei Yodim are not bottled the roi. The Chavizah says that's b'nei Torah. Obviously the Taisus holds not so. Taisus holds that even B'nei Yodim are bottled the roi. Even if you're B'nei Yodim are bottled the roi b'nei Torah, you can still say, but bottled the roi, you can't give me. As Lina bottled the roi will tell you what the facts are. But if you know the facts are, you're killing 10 people with skila, and you know one of them is not chai skila. We're going to say bottled the roi is good enough to give me, so bottled the roi that you don't say. And other Rishonim even go further. They say, Ruba, the Easter come on, you never follow. But Easter, you only follow Ruba, the Easter come on. That's a shara. The shara of the Rambam and the Raibis. But you follow Ruba, the Easter come on. Machlaj, the Rambam and the Raibis. And Hilchas Yisur Ribiya. We spoke about it this year. Last year, from the Perikyu Chesasor and Hilchas Yisur Ribiya by Stukim. So the Rambam holds that you don't go bust a Ruba, the Easter come on to give Miso. And the Raibis says, never heard of such a thing. It's enough in the Gemara. The Gemara says, the Raibi quotes that Ruba, the Easter come on. It's not Ruba, the Easter come on. So say, that's what the Rambam thinks. So the Rabbi Natan is bothered with the kasha. If you have the rate of them a chayiv skila and the minute a chayiv chenek, so why do you give them all chenek as doing a bekala? Why don't you say bittul berot? He holds that it's a kasha. So the shitas then it's a kasha. What's the terrorist? It comes up with a finish that you don't follow rov. You follow rov to determine whether the guy is chayiv misa or not. But a bank cover call you're going to give misa. The only question is which misa you have to give him. But to determine whether it's misa A, B, or C, or D, there you don't go bust the rov. As I go to Rabbi Natan. Why in the world should you say like that? If anything, should be fakir. You should say, if the guy is chayiv misa anyway, and you just have to determine whether you give him the misa chamur or you give him the misa kala. So then you say, all right, we'll follow right. But to determine whether you're going to kill him or not, that his life should hinge on the right. It's enough to follow right to give misa. If anything, should be fakir. That's what the Rabbeinu Tam says. So what's the beer in the Rabbeinu Tam? Very strange. Rabbi Yosef Engel has a Rabbi Yosef Engel and Asim there, right? I think quotes from his Malamed. He said when he was a little boy, learned Gemara, so the Malamed gave a hop shot to give a hop shot. So they quote Rabbi Yosef Engel there, another Achareidim quote, a famous kashis from Rabbi Hirschel Eisenstadt. I don't know what he was. Rabbi Hirschel Eisenstadt. Could be. I don't know. So he quotes from this Rabbi Hirschel Eisenstadt, yes, Akashi. If the Rabbeinu Tzahan is right, that you don't go bust the roads and dig in the fashions by Misa and Misa, so how does a Bas Koyim ever get Reisha? How do you know she's a Bas Koyim? Because you follow roads. How do you know that that's a father? The father determines himself. You follow roads because Rav Bila Sachar Abbal. So if you won't follow roads, you're going to give a Misa anyway. And then she's in Misa. She'll either get Chenek or she'll get Skila, whatever it is. And now because you follow Roiz, and you say Rav Bila Sacha Abba, she's a Bas Koyim, that's what you're going to give instead of the Chenek or the Skila or whatever, you're going to give a Sreifa, which is worse. So how can you give Sreifa by Bas Koyim if it's you're following a Roiz, then Misa and Misa? So isn't that possible in the Chumash against the Rabbeinu? So they give Teyutzin, so they say Hocha B'mayas Kinon, Sachakash against the Rabbeinu Tam from the Pasim and Chumash. So they say the only time the Rabbeinu Tam will say that this is wild. According to Rabbeinu Tam, you have to say the only time a Bas Koyim gets Sreifa is if the father was Mekabel Kiddushin for her. So if you won't follow Roy, she won't be an Eishes Ish Bechlo. But if the girl was Mekadosh herself, then she won't have the dinner Bas Koyim she's in. It's like, wow, who's taking him up? There isn't such a mark. That's what I want to say. The only time the Bas Koyim will have Sreifa is if the father is Mekadosh. Yeah, what do they say again on this postage? I forgot. How did it go? So look in the Medrash Pliyas from. Why does it say that she was pregnant? What is the Gemara that says that a Safik Mamza Enochai? It's such a Gemara. Avada Mamza Chai, Safik Mamza Enochai. I've already forgotten how it goes. There's some kind of a cheshbon with this kasher, official Eisenstadt. I forgot how they interpret this postage. Why she had to be pregnant in order that he should give it straight. Otherwise, it would be the Rabbeinu Tam's problem. That's how it goes. Pasuk has an interesting gloshin. Vayazim kol asher lo biyad Yosef. When Yosef was taken to Mitzrayim and he was in charge of Potiphar's home. Vayazim kol asher lo biyad Yosef. Vayad itam miyuma ki imarak mishavu echa vahi Yosef yifei tari vifei mara. What does it mean ki imarak mishavu echa? So Rashi quotes in the Medrash, he ishtoi. Means that Potiphar didn't pay attention to anything in his household. The only thing he was in charge of was his wife, and everything else Yosef was taken care of. Kim alachem shehoichel refers to his wife with whom he lived. Potiphar lived with his wife. The some of Farshim interpret, some Achrayim interpret this. I think they quote some Rishonim who say this pshat. That it doesn't mean that. V'layata ito mi'uma. What do you mean? V'yazov kol ha'shalo b'yad Yosef. V'yazov Potiphar kol ha'shalo b'yad Yosef. That's how Rashi interprets. So some quote from some Rishonim, Vayazim kol ha'shalo b'yad Yosef, Potiphar left everything into the hands of Yosef. However, the Yosef could have taken anything he wanted. He could have had ripsteaks every day. He could have had omelets, whatever. He could have had anything he wanted. But v'layada yitam miyuma, Yosef didn't take anything, only bread, because everything was trade. Everything that was kosher was bread. Just like it says in Sefer Daniel, the Hanan Mishal Vazariah wouldn't eat in Daniel, they wouldn't eat anything there. They didn't want to, they ate seed, they ate Zeronium, they ate, the kids didn't eat seed. Yeah, because it says they didn't want to be this girl because Bagamela, they didn't want to make themselves, they didn't want to eat the trace of food that the king had. So they interpret all he ate was lechem, and nonetheless, but he ate to be fed by the same hour. He was very good looking, despite the fact that he had such a bad diet. That's how Tami Shenim interpreted Pshat. He was so good looking despite the fact that all he ate was bread and water, because he didn't want to eat anything fake. In Hilchos Birchas Hamazon, quotes from the Shaloah Kodesh. When you say Kiddush, you should hold the Becher on the palm of your hand. Instead of holding it like this, that's how the Hasidim do. Hold on the palm of the hand, and some Amakta to hold the fingers up. And that's based on the pasuk here that it says, V'atenes HaKos HaKaf Paro. In his dream, he saw the way he's putting it up on the cup, on the palm of his hand. You see that that's the Choshev way, that's the way the million is. Hold the cup. That's the way the kings hold the cup. So that's what some say, Akoshel Bracha. That's the way you should hold it. That's what he quotes from the Shalom. The pasuk says that the Sar HaMashkin has a dream. It's after Sar HaMashkin of Chalomo. What does it say? Gethen, he sees a vine, and he takes, and the grapes, the Shilashkul HaSeh HaNovim, they're ripened, they're fully ripe, and he calls Paro Biyor, Bekechus HaNovim, Boetchot, I squeeze them out, I'll call Paro, and he puts the Kos HaKaf Paro. The Rajbon, the Torah Sabai, is quoted by the Rajid Hazal on this pasuk. The Rajbon, the Torah Sabai says, we learn out from this pasuk that it only has the status of Yayin. What is going to give him? Grape juice? He's going to give him juice? No, he's giving him Yayin. The Mashkechash, it only has the status of Yayin if the grapes are Hibshilu Ashkelasar on oven. If they're Hibshilu, if they're ripened. But if it's only Boiser, if it's unripe grapes and you squeeze out wine, it doesn't have the status of wine Benegiat and Maga Nochri. The Rajbo talks in the Gehta Mada Akum, that a goy makes it oster, and the Rekech writes the same in the Gehta to Burpi Agofen. You would say Shahakum. If you squeeze out unripe grapes and you make juice out of it, that's like orange juice. There's no special hashiva to that. The Gemara has a din in Amalecher Es HaPeiros. The Gemara says that even though for the purpose of Nisa Chayayin, Agav Yom Gehta, he's supposed to wait till the wine is 40 days old. Hasech Netzach Shechel Hashem, Netzach Shechel means it should be Roy L'Shakir. So Roy L'Shakir, it takes 40 days till more of the alcohol, more of it turns into alcohol. But when you get to Jewish, the Gemara says it's Mutal HaTchila to take grape juice. Our grape juice is Ashayla, whether it's good, because our grape juice is cooked and all of the alcohol is evaporated. It's treated chemically and it's cooked in such a way that it's never going to turn into wine. The Gemara says you can take grape juice that if you wouldn't drink it right now, if you would let it sit, it has the alcohol in it, then it's gonna, and the alcohol you'll be able to taste the alcohol in another 40 days. But that's the shalom. What about our grape juice? Maybe if you take out the alcohol from the grape juice, if you treat it in such a way that it's never going to be able to turn into wine, then maybe it's not dinu kiyayin. That's the Knesset HaGdolah has that kiddush. Rabbi Henkin was a fellow Rav, goes like that in his thing. He held that grape juice is no good. There was a Rav in Hartford, Connecticut, I think. There was a Rav who wrote a Pirush on the Sefer HaMitzvah for HaRambam. He was named Horowitz. Yad HaLevi, I think. There was a Rav Horowitz around 80 years ago, 50 years ago. Printed a Pirush on the and the Sefer HaMitzvah of Ramban, very interesting comment, this is Tom Kof. He has a whole attack there against Louis Ginsberg, the Rosh HaKaroy. Rosh HaKaroy. But during the Prohibition years, when it was prohibited for people to make their own intoxicating beverages, the religious Jews were always making their own wine, because he said, for religious purposes, we have to make wine. And Louis Ginsberg attacked the Orthodox rabbis, and he said, they're all a bunch of fakers, they don't have to use wine, they can use grape juice. And that wouldn't be in violation of the government regulations. This Rav from Connecticut writes in his Sefer Yad HaLevi a whole attack against the Rosh HaKaroyim that it's not correct that you can't use that. What kind of grape juice you can use? It's plain grape juice. The person can squeeze out a cluster of grapes into a cup and take that wine and make kiddush on it. That's because that wine, if you let it sit for 40 days, you would taste the flavor of the alcohol. But our grape juice is treated in such a way they evaporate the alcohol, so it'll never come with a chimush. So he doesn't quote the Knesset Gdoli. Right on his own, he holds that that's like you've taken out the neshama from the wine. It's wine without the neshama of the wine, so that's not wine. That's a glatka hatsa chayne. Says if a grape touches it, he does not. It does not. Anyway, it's yain shabishloi. That's a dalat pasha does not. It's yain melusha. But he says if a grape touches it, does not. Because it's wine without the neshama of wine. It's dead wine. It's not wine. It's a shot on our grape juice. Rav Moshe talking that it is good. Moshe held against this. Moshe held like that it was good, like Lou Ginsburg. It was good. So the Gemara has a lesson. Stechet Adam Eshchol Shalanovim. So Emor Alef Kiddush Hayom. So the Rebbe Azar said, why did the Gemara use that lesson? It's mamish the lesson from the pasuk. So Eshchet Oisam, Rekechet Shalanovim, Eshchet Oisam Al Kais Parah. He says the Gemara was just using the lesson over here, because this is the pasuk that indicates that that's considered derech hashivas. That it's not a problem of hakivei and olafecha secho. If you serve it to the king like that in his dream, you're serving it to the king like that. So obviously, this is a b'kovid dikem mashke. So there's nothing wrong with using it for kiddush. There's no problem of hakivei and olafecha secho. Vayibay Mashlish Yom Hu Leder says Paro Vayas Mishta L'chol Avador. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah says that in the first paragraph in Avodah Zarah, the Mishnah says that they used to make a party L'shem Avodah Zarah on the birthday of the king. So this is, there are two interpretations in the Rishayin of what the pasuk means. Yom Hu Leder says Paro means it was the anniversary of the birthday, he was 50 years old. Or it means no, his wife just gave birth to the new Paro. His wife just gave birth to a baby. So they were celebrating the occasion of the birth of the baby who was ushered to become the next Paro. Yom Huledes as Paro. Today we know there's such an institution of celebrating birthdays every year. 10 years old, 11 years old, 12 years old, you always celebrate birthdays. So, yes, we understand. Yom Huledes as Paro. Yom Huledes as somewhere. And they're in a birthday party. But Adam Shem never heard of that. When your birthday party? So they say, birthday. The baby was born. His wife had a baby. I says Paro. The next Paro. Ushered Leo is the next Paro. Sure, in the first paragraph in Kedushin, I ask you, Gimel has a wild comment on the pasuk called Tiyuha v'sisarei. Only later Rachanim say that he's wrong. Why is it Tiyuha v'sisarei? The Rishonim, she wasn't married, she wasn't an Eishes Ish b'chlal. He claims that the Gemara in Kedushin, that she Gimel, has to have a pasuk to say that Mishas HaBaal is Matir b'Yisrael. When a woman is married, her husband dies, that she's permitted to remarry. And if that's for that pasuk, we would have thought that even after the husband dies, the Eishes Ish is not allowed to marry. So that's only the Yisrael, the pasuk says that. But by the Nanaya, even if the husband dies, she's not allowed to remarry. So that's the reason how she over Tisarei. She's still married to the first husband who died already. She's still married to Oinon, even though he's dead. So that's why I'm all this. It's against the Feirish Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in the middle of Sanhedrin in the city of Nanaya says the Feirish that after the husband dies, even by the Nanaya, she's not married to remarry. Say late love. And he interprets that that's the pshat in that. Very tight. The Yerushalmi has one opinion that the Takonas Chachamim of Rabbi Kais is based on the fact that it says four times the word Kais by the Chaloyim of the Sarah Nashka. Because this led up to the Gdulas Yosef, which led up to the Shiva bin Sam, which led up to the Yitzhak bin Sram, so that's why they were mistaken on Abu Kais. The question is, but it says five times Kais. So that's why there is a Machlech Yitzhakanayim about the Kais Chamishi. Mengel Kasha has, he always tumbles about the Kais Chamishi. He has in his Torah Shleima on this parish about the Kais Chamishi, he has in his Haggadah Shleima, and he keeps on writing. Passed away already. He wrote quite a bit about the whole institution of the Kais Chamishi. Some interpret about the Kais Chamishi that the Reish Rav, I think, Zichrono Livracha, writes in his Sefer. The other opinion in the Yerushalmi is that the Dalet Reis is based on the four Lashonis, on the four Gulas. But it says if it's out to the Alta Gulakaf, the Ayat says the Hidesi, but about the fifth Lashon of Gula. So the Achrenim say, yeah, the Hidesi has come out of Horus, but it keeps us out of the system. So what are we going to drink the post for the Hidesi if that was undone? But Lassi Glovoi, when we go back to the Eretz, we won't be kicked out, then he's going to be a Kurs Hamish. So that's why sometimes I'm hope, Lassi Glovoi for sure there's going to be a Kurs Hamish. That's how the Reish Rav suggests. Should we celebrate now? Should we drink the L'chaim now? Hashem Ha'asid the Kurs Hamish, Rav Tarfin and the Gemara talks about the Kurs Hamish. Or should we only drink the four L'chaim for the four things that were in the sky move that remain? But for the fifth one that we got and was taken away and it's going to be given back again, that we don't drink any L'chaim. Okay. I wanted to mention to everybody I'd like to have a Chagiga in my home next week on Monday night. So whoever will be around is invited. So is anybody going to be here Shabbos? Okay, hope you have a minion. Yisrael. So here, if one of the members of the Chalitza says that it's going to be a ger, and the Yavam has to be a Yisrael, so it's a ger, not a Yisrael, so it's prohibited anyway. That's the discussion.
If the ger comes to Ben Yisrael, and he was a big law by Batanura,
the Batanura was a ger? No, you can listen to him. Absolutely, there was a Rabbeinu Avadya Hager. I don't think that was the Baal Shemura.
No,
that
one Hager. I thought, but what did he say?
No, you have to listen to him. If you know the Rishon Lakish, Shmai Rav Talia, the Raman says.
Yeah,
Hager.
No, Shmai Rav Talia means many Chalitza.
No, they're not allowed to serve as members of the Chalitza. In fact, not only is a ger should be a guy or not good to be a member of a business or chalitza, you should be a descendant all the way back. Then all the way back, if he's a descendant from ger, at any time there's no good.
So you learn the last pairing introduction by Jesus.
Yeah. So the question is, let's say any given person today in this room, how do you know that there's no gerus in your background? There's a guy that's calling her a lady, he knows he's a ben aha ben, and he knows from his father's time. That all the way back to Kohan Malavim, otherwise he wouldn't be a calling her a lady, that's clear. But from his mother's side, how do they know? From his mother's side, how do they know that there's no, let's say, a lady? How do they know that Kohan Malavim didn't marry a geori? I'm not a lady. How do I know that my father was not a gay, my mother was not a gay? I don't know, maybe 20 generations back, maybe my great-great-great-great-great-grandparents were gay. And then the din is no chalitza, that it's no good. Such a person may not serve as a member of a dozen. He has to be Yisrael, Ben Yisrael, Ben Yisrael, all the way back. And that's a
how far back?
How far back? That's a really question. How far back? So I would have thought all the way back to Har Sinai. So I saw one of the Ashrenim write all the way back till Avraham Yitzchak and Yankov. The Gevalt. Let's say there was Erevra. There were a lot of people who were at Har Sinai.
No,
it
was
the Gevalt.
What's the difference?
There
was
Erevra, Avraham. They say that by Avraham.
Biologically, they are Bnei Avraham. But the Gemara, we just said yesterday, the Gemara says that they don't have the din of Bnei Avraham. They're not Zer Avraham. They're not Zer Avraham. So this is a question. How
you said that once before, actually.
I said it again this year. So the question is, if you need that, you should be a Yisrael Ben Yisrael all the way back. Even if you'll be Nekel, the way I said, Yisrael Ben Yisrael all the way back to Har Sinai. Or if you zip it, you want to be Mashma all the way back to Avraham Yitzchak and Yankov. How does anybody know at all that he's a Yisrael all the way back? It's impossible. How can you know? I don't know how it's shy today that anyone should know. How can you have a Ksav Yichas that traces your lineage all the way back to Maimon HaSinai? That a person should know that he's not a descendant of any Ger at all, not from the father's side, not from the mother's side. But Philip really Floyd, I don't know. Anyway, but this is Tesis Kasha. Again, why does he depart to the Nikra Shema be Yisrael? But the Bezim Shal Chalitza may not be manifested, so Gerim may not consist of Gerim. Shouldn't I go on my own that it may not consist of Gerim? Because the Ger may not be dying inside Yisrael, even the Imamanis, Shikus HaTaisu. And here, the Yavam has to be a Yisrael, because it has to be Harash of the Lechad Vidusha. Why? If the Yavam is
Hayrasa Shalom Bigdusha, he's not going to have Achim and Ohr. And the only time he has Kalisa is when the Achim and Ohr. So obviously the Yavam must be Hayrasa and Hayrasa Bigdusha. If it's Hayrasa and Hayrasa Bigdusha, the Gemara says that he's in Shalom Aalya. It's the Gemara in Irish and it's Pasha that says, of course, the Sulu Zafnan Dal.